The Engineering Your Microbiome Summit is getting even closer. Free and online from September 26th to October 2nd. You can attend this summit and learn how to engineer your microbiome for better oral health, for better sexual health, for better mental health, and for overall gut health and well-being. There are interviews with more than 40 industry experts, including physicians, pharmacists, nurses, dietitians, you name it. We are tackling the microbiome from all different directions, helping you to stress less, sleep better, reduce pain and inflammation, and reverse autoimmune conditions. Head to lindseyelmore.com/microbiome to get signed up today. Now, let's get to this replay of the Lindsay Elmore Show with my interview with Dr. Sean Talbot about how you can change your microbiome to help change your mental wellness. In his book, Mental Fitness, Sean Talbot writes that at no time in human history have we ever been so advanced technologically and yet so miserable psychologically. That it's no exaggeration to describe stress, depression, anxiety, and burnout as epidemics. These are literally the black plague of our modern times. We feel terrible, and it's not just in our head. It's also in our gut, our heart, our immune system, and in many other places inside and outside your actual brain. Today, during our conversation, we will talk about how the gut-heart-brain axis links psychology, neurology, biochemistry, physiology, and microbiology into the emerging field of nutritional psychology. We strive to truly get mental fitness, overall wellness, where you wake up feeling motivated, in a good mood, and energetic when you're able to sleep at night and to stress less throughout the day. How can we go about creating greater mood, maximizing our motivation, and finding true mental wellness? This is the Lindsay Elmore Show. Welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy, with honest, open, and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Dr. Sean Talbot is a psychonutritionist who integrates nutrition, biochemistry, and psychology to help people feel, look, and perform better. He has a PhD in nutritional biochemistry from Rutgers University, as well as an executive management program certificate in entrepreneurship from MIT. His recent projects include two academic textbooks, an award-winning documentary, several best-selling books that have been translated into multiple different languages, and numerous top-selling nutraceuticals and functional foods. Dr. Sean Talbot, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Hey, Lindsay, great to be with you.
I am so excited to talk to you. You are the first psychonutritionist that I have ever met in my whole life. Tell me, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I've been doing the work of a psychonutritionist for more than 20 years. It didn't even exist. It wasn't a thing, you know, back when I started doing it. But now it's a whole discipline in and of itself. Nutritional psychology, some people call it nutritional psychiatry. They call it if you're more in the medical field. But it's this idea of looking at food and how that food makes us feel. Sort of the food mood connection is what a psychonutritionist would study.
Okay, so you know, what are some of the basics of the food mood connection? Like what are some food that really destroy your mood, and what foods are out there that can make you feel better?
Yeah, well, the stereotypical example is the standard American diet, right? Which the initials of that are SAD. There's really good data to show that the more you eat the standard American diet, you know, lots of red meat, lots of processed food, low fiber, high in artificial sweeteners, high in sugar, all that kind of stuff, that can lead you to be more sad, like higher rates of depression, higher anxiety, higher stress levels. I mean, even higher risk for neurological impairments like Alzheimer's and, you know, the dementia, those sorts of things, because it's damaging your brain. It leads to more inflammation. It leads to more oxidation. There's nothing good about it, except that, you know, a big juicy hamburger tastes good initially, but it's doing all sorts of damage through your body. The flip side of that, though, the sort of anti-standard American diet, would be dietary patterns like the Mediterranean diet or the Okinawan diet or the Scandinavian diet. And what they all share is that they're rich in whole foods. They're high in fiber. They're high in phytonutrients. The base of those diets is brightly colored fruits and vegetables. You still get some meat. You still get some treats in there, but it's not the centerpiece like it is with an American style diet.
It is astonishing the transformation that can happen simply from looking at your plate in a different way. And, you know, I think about like an Okinawan diet. It's not to say that Japanese people don't eat pork. It's everywhere in the culture. They have huge hybrid, they have heritage breeding programs of this beautiful quality meat. But you look at it and it's not a giant piece of meat as the cornerstone of the plate. It's the seaweeds and the rice and not even just one seaweed, but multiple. And one little sliver of meat can feed the whole family.
Right, right. Yeah, it really is a reorientation of the portion sizes on the plate. And so in my book, I actually have a picture of a plate and I show what your plate should look like. You know, I'd say people, instead of the meat being the centerpiece, the focus of that plate, it really is like a side dish. It's like a condiment almost. Whereas the side salad in an American diet is now the centerpiece. So you have a big salad, you have a small piece of meat, you have some whole grains, you have some, you know, healthy fats in there, like, you know, avocados, and you can have butter, you can have olive oil. You know, it really is a beautiful blend that tastes delicious. You're not giving anything up, you're just reorienting them in terms of their priority, if you will.
Well, and I think also one of the problems with the standard American diet is we take the side salad and we're like, sure, I'll make the salad the star of the plate, but then we top it in fried chicken and buttermilk ranch and cheese and bacon. I mean, you know, I'm from Alabama. You can go right down the road and get a salad that has half a pound of pulled pork on top of it. It's like, guys, what are we doing here? Like, don't do that. So you just mentioned your book. Your book is called Mental Fitness. What does mental fitness mean to you?
Yeah, mental fitness is mental fitness in research is this catch-all term that incorporates your mood, your motivation, your resilience, your stress levels, your ability to relax if you need to relax. All of that is under that umbrella of mental fitness. But for me, it really means resilience. It really means being able to show up to whatever the situation is and get stuff done. Meaning, you know, sometimes it's going to be happy days and smooth sailing. Other days, it's going to be a total you-know-what storm. And you have to step into it and go, this is not a good situation, but we're going to figure it out. And people with high mental fitness or high resilience can solve problems better. They have what we call cognitive flexibility. So they're good at strategy formation. They're good at sort of, you know, seeing the way through, a not great situation. That's mental fitness. And if you have good mental fitness, you're going to perform well in your work and, you know, whatever you're focusing on for your career. You're going to perform well in your family situation. You're going to perform well in your hobbies. You know, if you're a weekend warrior or whatever the case may be, you just sort of level up in whatever it is that you're trying to do if you have high mental fitness.
So how do you craft mental fitness? Like, what are kind of the cornerstones that it's like, look, if you actually want to be able to show up for yourself, do these things?
Yeah, well, a lot of the things are, you know, are things that sound pretty straightforward. You know, you want to be physically active, you know, you want to move your body a little bit every day. You want to get good quality sleep. That doesn't necessarily mean 8 hours all the time, but you want to get good REM sleep and good deep sleep. And we can talk about that later if you want to. You want to make sure your inflammation is low. You want to make sure that your mood is good and your focus is good. And that's sort of related to neurotransmitters. So there's all kinds of things that we could do. And it comes back to eating right, moving right, sleeping right, eat, move, sleep, the EMS kind of thing. And people go, well, that's everybody knows that. Well, everybody does know that, but why isn't everybody doing that? And it's that gap between what we know we should be doing and what we're actually doing. Like, why is there a gap between our knowledge and our behaviors? It's in between there that we can really help people. And that's where, you know, eating right and supplementing the right way can sometimes be the easy button to move you towards the things that you're supposed to be doing.
So talk to us about some of your favorite go-to supplements, because we touched on food, but so often, because we live in this culture of instant gratification, a lot of the time people don't necessarily want to wait the time that it takes for a total food transformation to really take root in your body. So what are some of your favorite go-to supplements?
Yeah. So in the mental fitness book, I have a whole chapter on supplements. And at the start of that chapter, I really explain that my view on supplements has kind of evolved over the last 10 years or so, as I've studied them more and more and more, excuse me.
It's
evolved from this idea of I used to think that supplements came last, that they were the last piece of the puzzle. Once you dialed in your nutrition and your exercise and your sleep patterns and everything was good, the supplements were sort of the cherry on top, where you really brought it all together. And what I've, having studied this area for so long, what I view the supplements now as the first piece of the puzzle for a lot of people, meaning that if you can get supplements that truly improve mental fitness, a supplement that's going to improve your sleep quality, or a supplement that's going to help with your energy levels or your motivation, a supplement that's going to help with your stress levels, et cetera. If we can use that supplement as the first piece of the puzzle, then that person has better bandwidth. If they're more motivated, they're probably going to exercise more. If they're less stressed out and they're not getting those stress eating signals, they're probably going to eat better. If they're not tense and irritable, they'll probably relax more and they'll get a better night's sleep. So, that shift in thinking has made all the difference in the last 10 years of my research, because we've actually put it to the test. We've used some of these supplements and we've been able to see that it does help people gravitate towards exercising better and eating better and sleeping better and all the things they knew they were supposed to do in the first place. Now they're able to do them more effectively because they have a good quality supplement on board.
Well, sometimes it takes a push to get you going, and it's not always easy to just jump straight into a total dietary change, because number one, total dietary change is difficult. It takes time. It takes research. And, if you go from taking 5 grams of fiber a day to 50, you're not going to feel good in any way, shape, or form. So one of the things that you talk about in mental fitness is the importance of the gut-brain axis and how do we support the overall function of the gut-brain axis. Talk to us about the gut-brain axis and how the body uses this communication pathway to convey information to different body systems.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times I'll be explaining mental fitness from the perspective of the gut, and people will kind of have this look on their face going, well, wait, I don't have any gut problems. My gut seems fine. I don't have stomach aches. I don't have bloating. I don't have diarrhea, any of that kind of stuff. So I'm good there. Let's get back to the mental fitness. And I go, listen, what happens in your head starts in your gut. That's why we call the gut your second brain. So, we also say it this way. We say how you feel is not just in your head. it's also in your gut. And so your gut makes most of your neurotransmitters, most of your serotonin that helps with happiness, most of your dopamine that helps with motivation, most of your GABA that helps with relaxation. Those are neurotransmitters that are made predominantly in your gut, and they have signaling effects in your brain. So if you want to feel as good as possible in your brain with the ultimate mental fitness, you have to look at the gut first. And then the axis portion of that, the gut-brain axis, the axis is the communication network whereby the gut talks to the brain and the brain talks to the gut. So this is your nervous system. Some of the signals go directly through your nervous system. It's like a hardwired connection between those two brains. Some of it goes through your circulatory system. Some goes through your immune system. So, you know, if we can think of this overall system of the gut connected to the brain through this axis, we can actually positively modulate all of those parts of the system. And in doing so, we can help people feel as good as they've ever felt in their entire life.
Okay, so how do we do that? Like if I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, I'm not constipated, I'm not having diarrhea, I'm not bloated, but yet I just don't feel like I want to get out of bed in the morning and I just don't feel like I want to work out. How can I utilize my gut to make my brain healthier?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it is start feeding your gut the right nutrients. And so those are going to be things like we can actually feed the bacteria that we need down there. We can give probiotic supplements. We can give specific strains of probiotics that will help with stress, which is one aspect of mental fitness, or anxiety, which is another, or depression, which is another. There are specific strains that help with all of those. There are specific kinds of fibers that we call prebiotics that will actually nourish the microbiome bacteria so that we can grow the good guys and starve out the bad guys. So then you get more of the happy signals and less of the depression signals, which are typically inflammatory signals. So, you know, we can start right there, and people can get those kinds of things from food. You can get a certain amount of fiber and phytonutrients from, you know, a big brightly colored salad, but then there's some of it that you won't find in food. So some of these specific strains of bacteria we have to get from targeted fermentation, and we can produce exactly the one that helps with all these different pieces of mental fitness. And then we can put them in a powder, we can put them in a drink mix, we can put them in a capsule, and then people can supplement with those to really sort of hit the easy button, you know, and get those mental fitness benefits that can sort of start cascading over into some of those other areas of their lifestyle.
Okay, so there's 10,000 bajillion probiotic supplements on the market. And you know, what you just said about like, you got to have the right strain and you actually have to put it together with the right food to ensure that you are getting the maximum benefit. How do I, as a consumer, know what to look for on a label to know that I'm getting something that's actually going to be beneficial?
Yeah, the easiest way really to decipher it is to contact the company. Go right to the company's website or call their customer service department and say, hey, what strains are you using here? You know, or why did you put the strains in that you decided to put in? Because the companies that do the research, the companies that use the clinically validated ingredients are going to go out of their way to tell you exactly why they used what they use and why this product is going to deliver on the benefits and the claims and all that kind of stuff. This is one of the reasons that I'm not just a scientist and a writer, I'm also a product developer, because I feel really passionate about getting the right stuff into the product. So that, you know, it's, as a scientist, I get interested, and I know you get interested in all the details, you know, why does this nutrient work and how does it work and what's the mechanism and all that kind of stuff. Most people don't care about that kind of stuff. They just want the product to work. And so if we can build that science into a product and say, here, it's built into this, take it, and it's money back guarantee, and you will feel better. That's what people are looking for. People just want to feel better, and they want to do it in a way that's natural and healthy and is going to work with their body systems.
Yes. I mean, it is, you do want to feel better, but you don't want it to be a punch in the face that makes you feel better. You want it to happen to where you're like, I think I feel it. I think that's working. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel dramatically better. Oh, I feel this is major difference. This is a big, big transformation. And so you mentioned that you're a product developer. And one of the things that you look for in the in your consumers, your product users' responses is, do they feel better immediately, but do they feel even more better over time? So talk to us about that.
Yeah, there's certain, so when we talk about mental fitness, there's a lot of flavors of mental fitness, if you will. There are early phase flavors or mood states like stress and tension. Those are things that we can modulate in people in an hour sometimes, right? Certainly the day that we start supplementing people, stress and tension can come down. But something like depression or anxiety or burnout, one of these more kind of robust kind of mood states, we might not be able to get traction on that for 4 weeks or 6 weeks. But if I can get somebody's stress and tension to come down in an hour, they might do that the next day and the next day and the next day because they want more of that feeling. And then after about a week, we see that brain fog starts to lift and focus gets better and creativity and memory starts to come back. We didn't get that on day one, but getting it on week one is pretty good. And then things like resilience, that might be 2 weeks or 3 weeks in different people. And so if your resilience is better, your stress is down after day one, but now your resilience is up after week two or three, that means you can handle more stress before you feel stressed out. So that's just an example of the different phases that these different mood states just sort of exert themselves on. And you know, if people stick with the regimens that we recommend, they'll feel better immediately. And then a little while later, they'll feel more better. And then a little while later, more better and more better and more better. And you won't continue to feel more better into infinity. It doesn't work that way, but you'll get to a new place where it's like a new normal for you. And you'll look back to where you were before and you'll go, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had brain fog until it went away. I didn't even know I was fatigued until my energy came back, you know? And so people are really good at getting accustomed to feeling kind of blah, kind of okay, kind of meh. And when you start to feel amazing again, when you start to flourish, you go, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that this was possible to feel this good. And that's what mm-hmm. we want people to get to, because that's the normal human condition.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to take this step by step, because in my opinion, in order to have good energy and in order to not be living in pain and in order to be in a good mood, you have to be able to sleep. You have to be able to really give your body that time to heal. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This episode of The Lindsay Elmore Show is sponsored by Sambucol. Fall will soon be here, and fall is a time when we get the chance to harvest all that we have sown all summer long. Mother Nature is shedding her layers as we layer up for cooler weather. Kids are heading back to school, and this is a time of transition. That means that it is the perfect time of year to assess your current routines. What is serving you? What isn't, and is there anything that can help to aid your health and wellness journey? This is where Sambucol comes in. I recently started taking Sambucol Black Elderberry every single morning to help support my immune system so that I can keep doing all of the things that I need to do every single day. It's a simple act of self-care that doesn't really take much effort. Sambucol is made from premium European black elderberries, which are a natural source of powerful antioxidants and key vitamins like A, C, and E. They help support a healthy immune system so that you can keep moving. Best of all, Sambucol has many different ways of helping your daily dose of black elderberry to happen with ease. There are syrups, gummies, chewable tablets, drink powders, capsules, and more. They have products just for kids, too. So whether you are drizzling a little bit of syrup over your yogurt or overnight oats, or if you're reminded every time you exercise, today is my time to take my Sambucol, go ahead and bump up that immunity so that you can keep moving. Listeners of the Lindsay Elmore Show can get 15% off of their next order of $9.99 or more at sambucolusa.com by using my promo code Lindsay15 at checkout. That's 15% off your order of $9.99 or more at sambucolusa.com when you shop the code LINDSEY and the number 15 at checkout. Here's a pro tip. Save this information in your notes app. Life gets busy and you are not going to want to scroll back through episodes and find me saying this again. The code is Lindsay15 at sambucolusa.com. And now, let's get back to the show. So, what have you learned along the way about supplements that we can use that will help us sleep that aren't just, hey, we're going to crush you with a zillion milligrams of melatonin right now?
Yeah. So right now the sleep is one of my favorite things to talk about and to write about and to study. Our lab has done a number of different sleep trials. And what we find is that, you know, sleep, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that sleep problems are an epidemic right now. Some people have trouble falling asleep. Some people have trouble staying asleep. Some people just have troubles with overall sleep quality. So you might sleep a whole night and you wake up the next morning and you feel like you've been run over by a bus because you didn't get good quality sleep. So your brain didn't recover and your body didn't recover and you just feel exhausted still. So there are different ways that we can help people with all of those. If you're having trouble falling asleep, it's probably a problem with GABA. And there's things that we can do to get your body to produce more GABA when you need it. So GABA is your body's primary relaxing neurotransmitter. You should produce more of it when you're stressed out as a way to calm yourself down. And if you're deficient in the ability to do that, you're going to be that person lying in bed at night, trying to fall asleep, and your head is just going zzz, buzzing, and you're thinking, and you can't shut off your brain. If we can get you to make more GABA, which comes from your gut, that's going to help you fall asleep better. The people who wake up through the night, that might be a problem with your metabolism. Maybe your blood sugar is crashing in the night and that's waking you up. So there's ways that we can improve your metabolism so your blood sugar levels are normalized, so you stay asleep and you don't wake up frequently. For the people who have problems with sleep quality, that's usually a melatonin problem. And there's ways that we can give you supplements that will encourage your body to make its own melatonin on demand. So some nights you're going to need more melatonin, some nights you're going to need less. And you don't want to take melatonin because that's a synthetic hormone that's similar to what your body produces. But if you take that every single night, you're going to stop producing your own melatonin. And then you're going to be dependent on this external, you know, synthetic hormone, you know, in order to have any sleep. So we can give you something like corngrass, for example, that it has a natural ingredient in it that your body will use as a building block to make however much melatonin you need on that night. So then you cycle appropriately. You spend more time in REM sleep where your brain recovers, and you spend more time in deep sleep where your body recovers. And then you, even if you only get 6 hours a night, it's good quality sleep. So you wake up and you feel rested. You know, so, you know, I say to people all the time, if they ask me about energy levels in the day, I'll say, well, first of all, let's talk about your sleep quality at night. Because if you can get good sleep quality, that's going to lead the next day to better energy. If you have better energy in the day and better mood in the day, that's going to lead to a better sleep quality that night. So you get out of this vicious cycle of being tired in the day and restless at night, and you start getting restful at night and energy in the day. And that just gets better and better and better.
Yes. So my wellness journey started because I tore my ACL when I was on my first ever skiing trip.
Oh, no.
I know, right? So I tore my ACL and I end up in the chiropractor's office because when you tear your ACL, they lock your leg out straight in a brace. And so every step you take, you're having to hike your hip to move. And I was in pharmacy school at the time, and I realized I could only sit on one sitting bone at a time. I couldn't sit on both sitting bones. And my hips were, I don't know, 2.5 inches out of whack by the time I made it to the chiropractor's office. And I told The chiropractor, I was like, I feel like I'm going to die because I haven't slept. I just have not slept in a month or a month and a half. And ended up in the acupuncturist's office for the first time in my life. And it completely transformed everything about my life, about acknowledging and respecting circadian rhythms and how they're supposed to help you facilitate your day.
Right, right. If you're not sleeping, your mood is going to be off the next day. Your appetite is going to be off. Your cortisol levels, stress hormone, are going to be high, which is going to interfere with your blood sugar and your thyroid. So your metabolism is going to be completely out of whack. Your immune system is going to be suppressed, and that's going to increase your risk for cancers. So much so that the World Health Organization categorizes shift work, where you have disrupted sleep cycles and disrupted circadian rhythm, as a carcinogen. It's that strong. And I also tell people, I say, listen, here, I'm going to scare you for a second. This is why you need to get good sleep, because poor sleep is the number one risk factor for Alzheimer's. And so if you don't sleep enough, your brain can't clean out the toxins that are accumulated throughout the whole day of, you know, doing work and thinking and going through stressful situations and doing podcasts, and all of that takes a toll on our brain. And we need to clean out that damage in the night. That's what sleep is for.
Yes, yes. And we have talked with Molly McLaughlin on our show about the importance of the glymphatic drainage that takes place in the night. We have an upcoming show, listeners, at the time of recording, it hasn't been published yet, but we have an interview with Dr. Shaliza Shori coming out, where she discusses Alzheimer's disease. And the thing she talks about basically the whole show is how sleep is so critically important, especially if you have a genetic predisposition to Alzheimer's disease. Now, let's shift gears a little bit, because also if you're not sleeping, you are unable to drain inflammation from your body. And that can lead to the brain fog, the not feeling good the next day, but it also can lead to joint pain and just diffuse musculoskeletal pain throughout the body that can really be an impediment to getting an exercise routine on track, or it prevents people from being the parents that they want to be, the worker that they want to be. So what are some of your top picks for how can we get fast acting but also long lasting relief from the aches and pains that can plague us?
Yeah, with inflammation, you just mentioned it. You know, if you're overinflamed, you're not, you might not feel good, right? You might be achy, you might be creaky, you might feel kind of old. But also, we know that your tissues cannot repair themselves. Like your tissue turnover is suppressed. And so, you know, little aches and pains will just stay longer. They won't resolve. They won't, you know, you won't be able to heal yourself. You won't be able to repair that damage. Some of the things that we know that are wonderful natural approaches to lowering that inflammation would be things like turmeric is really beneficial.
It's basically like the most classic solution for inflammation is turmeric. You know, in functional medicine, we say just put turmeric in it. Just put the turmeric in it.
Right. Unfortunately, turmeric can be a problem, because if you're taking too much of it, so one of the problems with turmeric in general is that it's really poorly absorbed. And so in order to get a systemic anti-inflammatory effect, meaning, you know, it gets rid of the pain in your elbow or your back or your neck or something like that, you need to take a lot of it. And the problem with taking a lot of turmeric all at once, it can lead to heartburn in people. It can block absorption of certain minerals like iron and things like that. So you don't really want to be taking mega doses of turmeric, but you need to take mega doses in order to get enough of an absorption of this poorly absorbed thing. So we've figured out a way to be able to take a lower dose of turmeric but we wrap it in something called a phytosome that improves its absorption by about 30 times. And so now you can get something that works on inflammation and pain about as quickly and about as potently as something like an ibuprofen or a Tylenol kind of a drug, which have problems that you don't want to get into. But here you can get...
Oh, I'm sitting here like as a pharmacist, I'm like, no, it's going to kill your liver and the other one's going to kill your kidneys. And if you're on this combination, I could go on and on. Yes, absolutely.
But now you have a turmeric source that lowers your pain, lowers your inflammation, but now is good for your gut and good for your liver and good for your brain and, you know, all the tissues in the body. But one of the problems with turmeric, even if you do it in the right way, is that it's metabolized fairly quickly in the body. So it might get rid of your pain quickly, like an ibuprofen, but that pain might come back, forcing you to, you know, have to take another turmeric or another turmeric or another turmeric. And the way we solve that is by using another herb from Indian medicine, from Ayurveda, called Boswellia. Sometimes it's called frankincense. People might know it as that. But it also has poor absorption. So we do the same thing. We put it in a phytosome, it have better absorption. And Boswellia works a little bit differently. It doesn't work as quickly as turmeric, but it works longer. And so if you combine the two of them, turmeric for fast acting and then Boswellia for long lasting, because it slows the production of inflammatory enzymes. Now you've got something in the same product that gets rid of the pain now and keeps it from coming back. And that's what people really want, because they want to be able to take something natural and go off and do their day and not have to worry about it anymore. And that's exactly what you get with that combination.
So talk to us about energy next, because there's so many energy drinks out there on the market. And I think when people's circadian rhythm, their gut brain axis is all out of whack, like you said earlier, they're waking up tired and then feeling exhausted all day. And we've got to get that back into balance. And so how can we foster healthy energy without leaning too heavily on the caffeines and the sugars and all the everything?
Right, exactly. So the standard approach to energy drinks out there is more caffeine, more sugar, more artificial things to sort of amp you up. And that can be a self-defeating sort of an approach, because you get too amped up and then it interferes with your sleep that night. And then that leads to the problems that we just discussed. So we take a very, very different approach. It's not to say that caffeine is bad necessarily, but there's a dose response, right? You can use a little bit of caffeine, like green tea, for example, naturally contains a little bit of caffeine, 30 milligrams, 35 milligrams, something in that level. But if you do it in a matcha form, now you get a whole leaf form. So now you're getting not just the naturally occurring caffeine, but you're getting it along with something called theanine, which is an amino acid that has a calming effect. So you might think that the energy of the caffeine and the calming of the theanine might fight against each other and cancel each other out, but they actually have benefits in different parts of the brain. So you get this really nice relaxation, but alertness effect. So that relaxed alertness is really how people want to feel. And then we can accentuate that benefit by combining it with flavonoids, extracts from different plants like apples and grape seeds and pine barks and things like that, or pomegranates. And you can get an overall improvement in a kind of energy that we call mental energy that allows you to focus and be on task and be engaged. And that's completely different from what you're going to get with a standard energy drink that you might pull off of a shelf at the convenience store.
Yes, and our listeners might remember my conversation with Dr. Carrie Cipino, as well as Dr. Michael Merzenich, about how we want that relaxed energy. Because if you're constantly just in energy, well, that's those alpha waves. And the alpha waves in the brain are panic waves. And so we want to get into these beta waves where it's really that flow state. If you've ever gotten into that frame of mind where something you love that you've crafted over the course of years suddenly becomes easy for you. That's that beta wave state. That's that way that we know that we're in that relaxed mental alertness, which is what we're striving for.
Right. A lot of the athletes that I work with will sometimes make the mistake of thinking that they need to get really hyped up to get their best performance. So, you know, they will make the mistake at some point of taking too much sugar or taking too much caffeine or some other kind of stimulant, and they'll have poor performance. And what I explain to them is exactly what you just said. When you're in flow state, when you're in the zone, it really is almost a 50-50 proposition of relaxation and energy. And so athletes that are in the zone, if you've ever been there, you feel calm, you feel energized, you feel focused, you feel almost like everybody else is in slow motion around you, and you can just see where you need to go. You have your highest level of performance, and it feels effortless. And that's exactly what we're trying to replicate in this Energy Plus product that we put together.
I love that so much. And now I want to touch on, before we have to bring things to a close, there are more than 60 million Americans that have been diagnosed with depression and or anxiety. And the problem with conventional treatments is that antidepressant meds, they're hit or miss. For some people, they're completely life-changing. But for the majority of people, they aren't really enhancing the mood and unfortunately can bring a slew of side effects like sedation and weight gain and dry mouth and constipation and things that are, then you're like, well, do I need another med to treat this? And the problem with anti-anxiety medicines is that many of them are very addictive and people become very reliant on them to help them get through the normal course of the day. And so what are some of the ingredients that you've worked with that can really help with this anxiety and overall stress level?
Yeah, so there are a lot, actually. There are a number of really, really effective herbs that we can use. And so, you know, some of them are things that people might have heard of. You know, one of the really popular herbs out there right now is called ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an herb that is sort of a central herb in Ayurvedic medicine. You know, this traditional medicine system of 5,000 years of history, ashwagandha is used for stress and anxiety and mood and, you know, helping people just sort of deal with the stresses of the day. And that's one that I've formulated with before. But there's some other ones that can really help with different aspects of the overall sort of mood cascade. One of the challenges sometimes is that people can sometimes have a little bit of depression and a little bit of anxiety, and they almost overlap in some of their symptoms. And people don't necessarily know, well, should I try to treat the anxiety? Should I try to treat the depression? I look at it as a psychonutritionist and I say, look, there's a lot of overlap there. Why don't we try to address all of it at the same time? And then you can look at traditional Chinese medicine. You can say, well, there's an herb in TCM called Rafuma that's almost never used in the West. And I'm surprised why not. It has some profound anti-depression benefits. It can take your mood and improve overall mood state by about 30% within a month, by 50% in 2 months. You know, so that's as effective as some of the most potent of the synthetic antidepressants that are out there, and without the side effects, because you get the benefit, but you don't get the sledgehammer potency. So you don't get some of those side effects like drop in sex drive and increase in weight and, you know, the lethargy and, you know, that sort of stuff. So, and then one that I love, and this comes from African medicine. It's actually an herb that grows in South Africa. It's called kana. That helps not only with mood, but it pretty uniquely helps with resilience, and it works with one dose. So you can take one dose of kana and it will attenuate or sort of tamp down what's happening in your amygdala, the fear center of your brain. So you still have a stress response, but it's more manageable. And then over a couple of weeks of taking it, we see that resilience goes up. People are better able to solve problems. They're better able to have good impulse control so they don't fly off the handle. They have better cognitive flexibility so they can sort of navigate their way through stressful situations. And that is one that I think can be life-changing for people, because it allows you to show up to whatever stressful situation and just sort of, you know, get things done.
Are all of these considered to be adaptogenic, to where they work a little bit differently? So ashwagandha is like kind of the classic adaptogenic herb in Ayurveda. But, you know, one of the things with supplements is, like I said earlier, you don't want to be hit over the top of the head. So are all of these adaptogenic, and what does that mean?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what they are. So they all fall in that category of being adaptogens, which just basically is a word that we use to say that this herb will help you adapt to stress better. And there's all sorts of stress. You know, stress can lead some people to feel anxious. It can lead some people to feel depressed. It can lead some people to feel just sort of stressed out, right? But that how that sort of manifests in different people can be alleviated by an adaptogen. So an adaptogen that I take is going to work a little bit different in my body than the same adaptogen that you take will work a little bit differently in your body. But it all is this sort of rebalancing effect. So we see inflammation coming down, we see cortisols coming down, we see all the different stress pathways being more efficient in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love it. So, you know, listeners, if you want to know more, we have talked a lot on the show about the gut-brain axis and how critically important our gut health is to our overall health. I encourage you, go check out episode number 122 with Dr. Norm Robillard talking about dysbiosis. We have an episode with Dr. Emerin Mayer, that's episode number 102, talking about the gut-brain connection. And we also have episode 136 with Siobhan Sarna talking about small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. I am going to tell you more about the collection of products that Dr. Sean helped to create. They are called the Mental Fitness Pack. If you want to learn more about the Mental Fitness Pack and learn more about Dr. Sean and the work that he does, please head to lindsayelmore.com/amare and also pick up a copy of Mental Fitness, Maximizing Mood, Motivation, and Mental Wellness by Optimizing the Brain-Body Biome by Dr. Talbot anywhere that you purchase books. Dr. Sean Talbot, thank you so much for coming in today and being a guest on The Lindsay Elmore Show.
My pleasure. Always great to talk to you, Lindsay.
If you have been struggling with poor immune system functioning, gastrointestinal issues like bloating and constipation and gas, or maybe even something as bad as celiac disease, Crohn's disease, or ulcerative colitis, maybe you just have these skin flares of acne and eczema that come out of nowhere, allergies, hay fever, maybe even just brain fog and chronic fatigue and insomnia, or maybe even vitamin and mineral deficiencies. You may be feeling the effects of a microbiome dysbiosis. Dysbiosis is when our microbiome, the germs, bacteria, viruses, parasites, as well as yeasts and fungus that are living on us and in us, become disrupted. We disrupt our microbiome by lacking nutrients and fiber in our diet, lack of exercise, not getting enough sleep, having too much anxiety, the use of many medications and antibiotics, prolonged time spent indoors in contact with man-made materials and surfaces disrupts our microbiome. And if we've had a recent infection from pathogenic microbes, that can also turn into a disruption in our microbiome. Genetic factors, as well as overexposure to toxic household cleaning products, agricultural pesticides and herbicides, and cosmetic products not designed with your microbiome in mind, can lead to all manner of symptoms. That's why I decided to host the Engineering the Microbiome Summit. From September 26th until October the 2nd, you can tune in live and for free to the Engineering Your Microbiome Summit, where I have interviews with more than 40 industry experts. We're talking physicians, nurses, chiropractors, nutritionists, all that help us to engineer a healthy microbiome that can prevent and reverse both physical and mental illness. Head to lindsayelmore.com/microbiome to save the date and get signed up for the Engineering Your Microbiome Summit. That's lindsayelmore.com/microbiome to sign up today. The Lindsay Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsay Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Derek Lugo. Sound design and editing is by Jive Media. Support the Lindsay Elmore Show by heading to lindsayelmore.com/podcast. Your contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps us to bring the best guests to the interview chair. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Share this and all of your favorite episodes with a friend and on social media. Be sure to tag @Lindsay Elmore Show and help us bring the pod to more people.